from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Human nature is to be average. It's to survive. It's not to win a championship. It's not to be the best you can be. It's none of those things. And we think as coaches that just because a guy's a good athlete, he wants all that. Now, every now and then you get a guy who's got all the right stuff, who's a great leader, who does everything right. I mean, you were that way as a player. But there's not very many guys like that. You got to make them that way.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was Nick Saban on Hard Knocks talking with Bears interim coach Matt Eberflus. And I will update on the kickball game going on between the U.S. and Brazil. There was stoppage time in stoppage time. Yes, Texter, I know what it's called. I just think it's stupid. It's really idiotic. Kickball is a dumb sport in a lot of ways. And having bonus time that nobody knows how long the bonus time is, and they stop, and then they stop again, and they point fingers. And by the way, Dennis Rodman's daughter was instigating something. I know that's a shock. So it is still 1-0, Mallory Swanson. Her husband is Dansby Swanson. So she's faring better offensively than he is. And they are still playing kickball for the gold. The U.S. goalie made a spectacular one-handed save off a header to protect the lead, and nobody knows how much time is left because this is kickball, and in kickball, everything's a secret. We don't know why the game is interesting to the rest of the world or when it's going to stop, but that's not why you called. Bears training camp coverage is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears are playing football in Buffalo. Cameron Wolf of the NFL Network tweeted out, I'm told the plan is for Caleb Williams and Bears starters, including the top three wide receivers, to play roughly 15 plays. So two series or one long successful one. That's according to Cameron Wolf of the NFL Network. We will update things as we go. I've appointed Robbie. I've named him our Suckage reporter. He's reporting from the sideline of the sidelines.
This is what I grew up wanting to be.
Look, there's Tom Cruise. There's Tom Cruise cheering on our kickball team, our kickball girls. Tom Cruise is there. He's sweating it. He doesn't know how much time is left because in kickball, they never tell you. They go over. Oh, I'm sorry. We have more time. We're not going to tell you how much more time. You know, the NHL goes until it ends. Somebody scores, period. That's how it's settled on the field in a rational, you're playing as a team. But if this were to be tied at the end of the mysterious unknown stoppage time in kickball, then they would settle it in the dumbest way. From 15 feet out or 15 yards out or 20 yards out and do it that way. Settle it on the field. Let the teams settle it till somebody scores. If it's a tie game, I just don't understand why they won't do it. All the other team sports are. And the team that is fittest and bestest. All right. And the Nick Saban thing we heard coming in. He was there. Because, wait, did they win it? Is it over? Did the kickball thing end? Did it finally stoppage time mysteriously ended? It stopped? Stoppage time? Yeah. They're all falling all over each other, the U.S. women. And there's Megan Rapinoe. Yeah. 229 texter in the famous words of Pat Foley, Big Sam Nurr says no. That's what you should have said, texter. Nurr says no. Brazil goes off. They're sad. There'll be much tears. There'll be tears of joy for the U.S. Again, regaining its dominance. And your goal scorer for the Golden Girls of the United States, Mallory Swanson. She's married to Dansby Swanson. Or, I guess for the purposes of the moment, he's married to her.
Yes, that's the right way to do it.
And Jim DeShays tweeted out, she's going for the gold. This is before the game. She's going for the gold, this Mallory Swanson person. She's going for the gold, which she now has. And he, in the game against the White Sox tonight, against Chris Flexen, I think, is a starter for the White Sox against Justin Steele. Dansby Swanson will be looking for his 1,000th career hit. There you go. Could be quite a night. What a comeback. But Mallory Swanson, you remember? Dansby Swanson is like, oh my God, his season's going on and she's got no knee. She had, and what a comeback by her. All right, so the Golden Girls. And arguably the greatest coach in college football history, Nick Saban. He coached Bears interim coach Matt Eberflus when he played at Toledo. And it's pretty cool when you're going to see, like if you were to see Bill Belichick there, Nick Saban there, if they don't say anything, it's still cool to see them. So the microphones from Hard Knocks and the cameras caught Saban, had Saban discussing the challenges of being a coach. And Saban was going through this with Eberflus. Complimenting Eberflus. God, you knew it. You were a coach. You had the drive. You wanted to. Saban was talking about, specifically the thing that caught my ear, the challenges that Caleb Williams faces as a rookie quarterback in Chicago. A rookie quarterback for the number one team in Chicago. The most important person at Hallis Hall, and there's not been this kind of generational quarterback since Sid Luckman in a different century, all long ago.
Some Bears note, the Bears will be receiving, so Caleb Williams will be starting the game as the first quarterback on the field.
And the kickoff went into the end zone and the Bears just left. I think that, remember, we had, oh, you weren't here. We had Mike Mayock on, and Mike Mayock was talking about, he believes, because football coaches are very, very defensive. Even if they're offensive coaches, they're very defensive. And this guy is, they like cost certainty. They're going to kick into the end zone and know where their opponent has to start. They don't want to be the whimsy of a guy with moves. And so the Bears do receive. Caleb Williams out there. He's looking around. He has called his first huddle. He is going through his first cadence. It is first and 10 at the 30. And there's a handoff for not an explosive play.
Also, the Bears starting offensive line. Left tackle, Braxton Jones. Left guard, Tevin Jenkins. Center, Coleman Shelton. Right guard, Matt Pryor. Right tackle, Darnell Wright. Nate Davis, I don't know where he is as a human being. He's hurt, but he's not out there.
So Swift carried the ball in the first one. And so Swift and Komet are off the field immediately. And Caleb Williams is still out there, and so far he's upright. So we're not calling for the truck. We're not calling for the cart. So the part where Nick Saban's talking to, I will continue to be interrupted by Robbie. He's our suckage sideline reporter for whatever the Bears are going to do. Saban is quoted as saying, here's my theory on why NFL quarterbacks fail at such a dramatic rate. This is what Saban's telling Eberflus on Hard Knocks. Quote, to me, expectations are a killer. This kid you've got has got so much media, so much hype, so much expectation on doing well. And he has to develop so quickly to meet those expectations that everybody has for him, it's almost impossible. Eberflus asked Saban for advice about handling quarterbacks. And one of the things that he made the point, Saban did, was stand behind the quarterback in practices so you can see what they saw. And then be positive with the quarterback. Don't be negative. You know, show what he needs to do instead of just tell him. But you still got to instruct quarterbacks. You still got to tell them. And you've got to help them become a leader in whatever ways there you can help them. Saban says, quote, human nature is to be average. It's to survive, not to win championships. It's not to be the best you can. We think as coaches that just because a guy is a good athlete, he wants all that. Now, every now and then, you get a guy who's got the right stuff, who's a great leader, who does everything right. You were that way as a player, he tells Eberflus. You heard that coming in. But there's not very many guys like that. You've got to make them that way. To me, it's about the execution of the moment. You have to execute right now in the moment in that particular play. Expectations are something that is put on them by outside forces. We operate from the inside out. So what's important most is what the coaches, what the players, what we say we're doing and how we're doing it and the process we go through. So that's how I think you manage that. And I do think, do you need to interrupt me, Robbie?
I do. There is a first down. It was 3rd and 13. Caleb Williams.
It was 3rd and 3rd. In football third. Talk?
Yes.
Maybe you're just thinking of stoppage time and kickball.
Exactly.
But it was 3rd and 13.
Pass to DJ Moore, Caleb Williams' first completion and first pass attempt as a Bear. I know it's preseason, but it happened. First
down. His completion percentage is 1,000%.
So he should stop now.
Well, you can retire undefeated if you want. So to continue what Saban was saying, I mean, the Bears believe that Williams, they drafted him because they think he's all about that.
Oh,
he's
my God.
He's all about being able to do what they expect him to do as a transformational leader, as that leader. What happened?
So Caleb Williams was getting a lot of pressure. He evaded, and then he gave a little pitch pass to DeAndre Swift.
Oh, my God. It was like a hook shot.
42 yards. DeAndre Swift, 42 yards. They are now on the 18-yard line.
They were talking about Caleb Williams ad-libbing. There you go. Caleb Mahomes. Look at what he's doing. Look at what he's doing. And so he was under pressure.
This has to be a wet dream for every Bears fan out there right now.
And the Bears are close to another first down inside the red zone. Or do we say the green zone or the gold zone? You been watching the Olympics on the gold zone? Eventually, I'm going to get to my point about Saban, but go ahead.
I have not watched that.
Okay. That was Khalil Herbert, by the way, running. So Williams has had this. Like, here's a USC football player who had his own bobblehead night at Dodger Stadium. And understand the Dodgers are pretty much the Bears of L.A. That's L.A.'s team. First and foremost, the Dodgers, the Doyers. And you can get a Doyer dog if you want, the Doyers. So he's had that. And here's where Nick Saban's wrong about the expectations being a killer in this case, I believe. Because Caleb Williams walks in and says, yeah, I expect that. I want that. Multiple Super Bowls. He's leaning into it. Why duck it? Isn't that what Caleb Williams said? Why duck it? I mean, guys who can't deal with those expectations weren't good enough or didn't get good enough coaching on the field or in the media training, emotional training, mental training, whatever it is. They weren't coached well enough. They weren't listening well enough. They weren't built for it. Williams gets it. Williams is made for it. Yes. Yes, Robert.
Bears, 3rd and 1, failed to convert. Khalil Herbert, 3-yard loss. It is 4th and 4. They are now lining up.
Who did they run over? I didn't see that. Who did they run over when he lost 3 yards?
Who did they run over?
Yeah, which offensive lineman? Which way did they go?
They went back.
Come on, Robbie!
The Bears kick the field goal. Caro Santos kicks it for 3.
He's looking forward to tackling. He said that. Caro Santos. He's looking forward to tackling on the new kickoff things. We'll see if he makes the tackle. I think he's an idiot for looking forward to tackling.
So Caleb Williams' first drive as a Chicago Bear. I know it's preseason. Field goal.
One wonderful pass to DJ Moore and one prayer to DeAndre Swift, but that's why Swift was brought in. Talk about yards after the catch on that play. Back to the idea of Caleb Williams and Nick Saban not, I don't know, maybe he's familiar with the guy and doesn't believe it, but Williams gets it. Williams is made for it. It fits him. He tried on the glittering jacket. He's tried on all the rhinestones, and he decided it's the right size. He likes that. You know what I think? Saban is a typical coach even now when he's not coaching. And that attitude, he's every football coach. It's about what they can control. Every football coach is a control freak. Right down to the number of sheets of toilet paper needed for a squat. Williams' attitude is basically, coach, I got this. Hey, I got this. I'm going to own this. I'm going to embrace this. It's mine. He's not going to run around. I never expected him running around Hallis Hall shutting down TVs like Mitch Trubisky. He's going to have some bad days. He's never been on a team with this much spotlight. Born of 80 years of quarterback crap. Give or take a Jim McMahon, who did what he needed to do as quarterback in an offensive line that led the league in ball control to make that defense great. That offensive line doesn't get enough credit for making that defense great. But anyways, it's not why you called. See, USC doesn't mean, shall we say, squat in L.A. because the Doyers are number one, and then maybe the Lakers, sometimes the Rams, sometimes the Kings. USC football on its own is like behind movies and TV and streaming platforms and SPF 50 and In-N-Out Burger. And Caleb Williams comes here and says, I got it. Now he will have to deal with the intense spotlight. He seems fine with it. His teammates, the veterans, look at him with veteran respect. They're not daring him to be great. And he loves the idea of these expectations. It's like he says, why play? What's the object of the exercise? It's to be there. He's on Tom Brady's diet. And do you know he was tweeting out the whole idea of TB8? You know why? Because TB has 7 Super Bowl rings. I love that. Go after that. We're going to take a break when we come back. Did Caro Santos make the tackle? Did you see Robbie?
He just kicked it out the end zone.
Again, the whole new kickoff rules. Every NFL coach, because they love cost certainty and they're defensive and they want to control everything they can, they're going to kick it out of the end zone. You started the 30. That's fine. I got my defense. And now here comes Josh Allen. We'll update whatever they're doing later. And the women, U.S. women's soccer team, Mallory Swanson's goal, 1-0 over Brazil in the gold medal game. They won the gold. They have won the gold. We have other Olympic notes, including a wonderful gift given to the father-in-law of Bear safety, Jonathan Owens. Talk about that. Next, Hub Arkish 1240. We'll talk to him about this legendary day by Caleb Williams. All right. Saturday Suckage. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It sucks, man. It sucks.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Swift is back in for Chicago. Pressure off the right side. Williams has to get rid of it, and he finds Swift on a little shovel, and there goes DeAndre Swift. Down inside the 20, all the way to the Buffalo red zone. Terrell Bernard, a great linebacker, was coming free off the right.
Big time blitz. You mentioned Bernard. He led their team in tackles last year. Big time blitzer. He comes from the outside. Watch Williams just step up and up and just shovels it. He just shovels it to Swift in space, and then you see what Swift can do. Once he's open, he's like a jitterbug out there.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
The Bears are doing things. This is what I wanted. This is what I feared would not happen. 802 texter. Okay, Steve, happy now? Well, happier. The Bears defense held the Bills to a 3-and-out when last you left us. And all of a sudden, we've got trickery and mockery. And happily, we have all kinds of things that Caleb Williams is doing. Khalil Herbert is seemingly losing a job. On 3rd and 6, Williams was under pressure, seemed to be off balance. And, well, there's Khalil Herbert running for a lot of yards all of a sudden, maybe saving his job. And Caleb threw to Roma Dunze, who drew a PI call. So the Bears had 1st and 10, and then there was some jet sweep action, and there was a naked rollout. And for a guy who was, for a team that sounded like we got to protect this guy, they're running naked bootleg, naked rollouts now. And he's finding his guys. And they're playing football. So the Bears are marching. This is the second drive. Given what the NFL Network reported earlier, this would probably be it for the number of plays. But Caleb Williams still in there and still looking for.
Caleb Williams just completed a 26-yard dot to Cole Kmet. So Caleb Williams is everything as advertised, currently 4 for 4 with 95 yards.
How will the Bears ever get over removing Justin Fields from this team? Wow, that was good coverage too.
This is not against any other team. This is the Buffalo Bills.
And their first unit. So the Bears are 1st and 10 inside. They haven't gotten to the red zone again or gold zone or whatever it is.
Breaking news, though. Caleb Williams 1st and completion because Cole Kmet dropped the ball.
Season's over.
It's over.
630 texter, Steve, I only know that the white zone is for immediate loading and unloading of all passenger baggage. Nicely played. Don't give me that white zone bleep, Betty. That's just an underrated part of airplane. So Mallory Swanson, who is married to Dansby Swanson, the Cubs shortstop, she scored the goal. 1-0 win over Brazil. U.S. women won the gold medal moments ago. So more Olympic news that for you, especially with the Bears playing, the father-in-law of Bears safety Jonathan Owens, that would be Simone Biles' dad, was given a gold chain from Death Row Records. That's Snoop Dogg's Death Row Records. So she, Simone Biles, with the diamond-encrusted goat, now dad has a gold chain from Olympic broadcasting breakout star Snoop Dogg. I love what the Olympics has become. But by the way, can we stop with the Olympic booger cam?
We can stop for that in a second, though. Caleb Williams just scrambled for 13 yards, first down. The Bears are currently on the Buffalo 19.
Okay, he learned to slide. The slip and slide helped.
Oh, my God.
Because he wasn't tackled. He slid. He gave himself up. It was the slip and slide, the magic of slip and slide. One of the most...
That drill worked. That silly little drill.
Yes, and refreshing during the summer. So it's great that that was the result. The Olympics will continue with basketball games, gold medal basketball games, U.S. and France, in both games. First time in Olympic history, the same two countries have met to decide gold in men's basketball and women's basketball. Joel Embiid will be facing the French, the team he spurned, and he has been booed all the time. He's been touching himself in odd places to show his, whatever that displeasure is, or what he thinks of that. But the booger cam, did you see the booger camera? Oh, I don't want to take you away from watching football. You need to report on us. Oh, look at that. Complete? Incomplete? No, incomplete.
DJ Moore just dropped the pass for first down.
That was a hard, catch. So, Noah Lyles was getting the gold medal for his 100-meter win. And the camera is below him as he's on the stand, as you would expect. And the highly pixelated big screen that my daughter had, we're watching that with my daughter and my son-in-law and me and my otter. And he's got it's like a booger cam. We're looking right at it. Now, I don't know if NBC or the U.S. Olympic team has a booger wrangler, but we don't need to see that. We need to make sure then we get a clean look, or don't shoot the camera up their nose.
Caleb Williams just overthrew Roma Dunze in the end zone. Incomplete. The Bears are going to try for a field goal.
What a bum. How does he not convert on third? It's two red zone chances and nothing. It might as well be Justin Fields. We spent a first round pick on this guy. The hell? Okay, so we move on from the booger cam. Boer Saturday Suckage Olympic Reports. There's an archer named Yailagul Ramanzanova. She was competing. She felt her baby kick. She shot her last arrow and she shot a 10. That's the highest score you can get. She needed a 10 to win the gold. She's a first-time Olympian. She is 6.5 months pregnant. Her baby kicked. She won a gold. So you know what? For all of Noah Lyles' big-time braggadocio, we haven't seen him win a gold medal while preggers. Okay? Move along. Australia lost field hockey semifinal. And one of its players was busted for buying Coke on the street. He admitted he made a terrible mistake. No kidding. Yes. Tom Craig. Tom Craig was busted for trying to buy Coke after they lost. I got to forget my game. I snort to forget. So anyways, under French law, he got a criminal warning. It's an alternate prosecution meant for first-time offenders. On the condition they admit their guilt and don't commit another crime within the next 2 years. Just don't come into the country, okay? Go back to Australia and do whatever you're going to do then. You're trying to buy it from a 17-year-old. There's a new Olympic event. It's called breaking. Do you have something to tell me, Robbie? I see you.
Yes, the Bears, they kicked the field goal. It is good. The Bears lead 6-0 with 2:13 left in the first quarter. We will see if Caleb Williams comes out for another series, because my guess is he won't come out till the second quarter.
I don't think he'll come out again. That'll be it. Two drives.
Two drives, two field goals. Not bad. It's not touchdowns. That would be bad.
Now, they're not touchdowns. No. I don't know why the Bears drafted this guy. They need touchdowns. They don't need field goals. There's a new Olympic event called breaking. I know we'll be breaking soon, but you can't call it breakdancing. Did you know that? They get mad. You show your age. You call it breakdancing? You're as old as me, Robbie. Tree, as you and Grody. Tree, you're tree. So, it got underway yesterday. Breaking got underway yesterday. Sunny Choi was supposed to be the U.S. star of breaking at the Olympic level. She's 35. She's a former Estee Lauder executive, six-figure salary. Sunny Choi took gold at the Pan Am Games in 2023. She was knocked out on the first day, on Friday. She should not have quit her day job. I am not going to quit my weekend job, at least not today, because we're going to take a break. And when we come back, you thought I was curmudgeonly. What do you get a load of hubbark? No, that's not right. We are going to talk with Hubbarkish. He's seen a couple drives. He's watched the game. He's taking a break from what he has seen to bring us his thoughts. Saturday suckage. I suck so you don't have to. I provided ample evidence of that. You people are just never satisfied, are you? Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It sucks, man. It sucks.
So the ball's out to the 30-yard line, and we will see the first snaps in a Bears uniform for the first number one overall pick in a Chicago Bears jersey since 1947. This is the 2022 Heisman winner at USC and Caleb Williams.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Michael Jordan, is that who that is? Robbie, is that why you're playing that music? That was courtesy of Fox, was it not? Fox 32, Adam Amin calling the game. Bears, Bills, that's what we're talking about here on The Score. Go to the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Welcome back to the show. Score's senior NFL analyst. He's a senior analyst, not just because he's a senior, but he is a senior. And we respect that. We are the AARP, WSC AARP Score. He's Hubbarkish. Hi, Hub. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm seeing more than I expected. I'm very happy to see Caleb Williams in a playbook getting opened, getting much going on there for coaches who gave off the idea that we just want to see him get the play right and see what he's calling and operate the whole thing. What are your impressions the first two drives of Caleb Williams?
Well, I don't want to make too much of it. I mean, it's the first preseason game, and it's really just about looking comfortable out there, about being prepared, about knowing what he's doing, about making quick decisions. And, I've watched him every day in training camp, and I think he is ready for this, but I think it's going to be a rookie year. You know, there are very few CJ Strouds. I don't think he's going to have a year like he had last year, but I do think he's ready. And I've been impressed by what I've seen so far in training camp. As far as today, I just don't make too much out of these early preseason games.
Hub, perhaps you've forgotten we're on Chicago Sports Talk Radio and the Bears are playing. This is the most important preseason game in the history of history. It's impossible to overplay this story. Anyways, I just like the variety. I like that if they had just had him hand off, I would have felt kind of ripped off. I would have thought it was bad coaching. But they had a variety in there, and I like the fact that he was forced to survey the defense, diagnose it. I don't know what he did with protection, but there was a lot going on there as well as just the cadence. And I haven't seen any false starts. That's a huge step forward for the way this thing was going, don't you think?
Yeah, well, it's important. Yeah, there's no question about that. Whether it's a huge step forward or not, I don't know. He's having a pretty good camp, Steve. I mean, he's been impressive. And hearing his teammates talk about him is what interests me the most, because nobody's going to say anything negative about the starting quarterback if he's their teammate. But they're also going to, try and answer questions and be careful on what they say. And everything I've heard from everybody about him has been positive. With all the back and forth with Justin Fields the last couple of years, I'm not blaming Justin Fields for anything. I'm just saying, the way the position has been around him, it's been far more negative than positive. And everything about Williams since he got here, the concerns about drafting him with the number one overall pick, I think went away very quickly after they did it. And we began to find out that a lot of the things that people were voicing concerns about weren't real. He is ready for this, and I think that's the important part. I think what's more important is what we're going to see, next week and the week after, but mainly those first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. Once he's playing real games and we see how ready he is, then we're going to have a better sense for, where he's at. But I'm impressed with what I've seen so far.
My guest is Hub Arkus, senior NFL analyst for The Score. We're talking Bears, Bills, Bears training camp right here on The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670. Aside from Caleb Williams, what were you most interested and remain interested in seeing coming out of today's game with?
Well, as far as coming out of today's game, I just want to see, you know, how the offensive line performs at all levels, because at this point we don't know how many of the starters are going to be available on opening day, and that's important. And, you know, I think one of the stories that I haven't really read anywhere but has been jumping out at me the last couple of days is that one of the really smart things the Bears did in getting ready for Caleb Williams and adding Keenan Allen and drafting Roma Dunze and you know, knowing that C.J. Moore was already there, and then improving the tight end position and the running back position. But, you know, to me, one of the most important things they've done is that the secondary throughout practice has to practice against these receivers, and the secondary is winning in so far in camp. And so I'm very impressed with the way the Bears secondary looks right now. And you know, we knew the defense was better last year and was probably going to be pretty good, but I think the secondary, this group, has a chance to be special with the way they're performing so far.
But you're dealing with some injuries in the secondary, so you're seeing the depth get tested. Jalen Jones got hurt earlier on the previous Buffalo drive, and you're seeing the depth get tested, which is ideally you'd want to go in there with everybody healthy. It's never the case in football. It's like you start hurt. Some guys are more hurt than others. So the secondary can benefit from a pass rush that shows what it's doing to make its job easier. And Montez Sweat hasn't been there. So the defense as a whole against a Bears offense still learning, is it harder to judge that against that and easier to look at it against Buffalo, easier still to look at it against Cincinnati? Or do you have a handle on where you see this defense as a unit right now?
Well, you can't really form any final conclusions in training camp or any of these preseason games, because at the end of the day, you know, you're not playing against other NFL starting teams throughout, and you're not playing full games, and you're not focused as much on winning and losing as you are improving. But all of that said, there's no question that the secondary is being helped by the quality of the defense. But what I like is when I see these guys covering DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze, they're giving them a hard time, and that's not a negative about the wide receivers. I think there's just more talent in this secondary than we realize, and whether it's the offensive line or the secondary, you know, the injuries in training camp are always a concern, but you really can't focus on it too much until you get about a week before that first regular season game, because we don't really know how much they're protecting some of these injuries and how much are serious or concerns, and we're going to find out more about that in a few weeks.
Hub Arkus is my guest, senior NFL analyst on Score. We're talking Bears right here on the Score, WSCR, Chicago Sports Radio 670. So, Hard Knocks, what caught your eye? What did you find interesting? You've been around long enough, we're going to call you an experienced NFL analyst, not old. We'll call you experienced, and you've seen the Bears grow more and more staunch about not doing this, and this year it seemed unavoidable. When you have that number one pick, when you have that guy, and you have so many Hall of Famers, that you have to be the team. But for so long, George McCaskey wanted nothing to do with it. The Bears wanted nothing to do with this. They just were staying away. So why was that? And it seems like, based on especially having the editing final cut, it seemed like so much ado about, what were they afraid of, and what did you think of what you saw in episode one?
Well, let me start by saying I've never been a fan of this Hard Knocks thing. I think it's unfair to these teams. I think it has to be getting in the way of what they're trying to do. Hopefully not seriously. You know, they prepare for it, and they have no choice. I understand that. So, you know, it is what it is. But as far as the first show, I love the fact that Nick Saban was there with Flus, you know, and that he's his, you know, former head coach. And I like the way that Flus has presented himself. I think there's been a lot of concern after the first two seasons and coming into this year about him as the Bears head coach. A lot of people wanted him fired, which I thought was ridiculous. But nonetheless, you know, I think he's handled, at least in the first show, handled himself pretty well, very much looks like a head coach. We're learning that the players seem very comfortable with him and the whole staff, and I think that's a good thing. I think the stuff with Owens and Simone Biles is fun. I like seeing the rookie thing. It was funny, but I don't know that it's worth much to us as fans. So overall, they look like a real NFL team. Matt Eberflus looks like a real NFL head coach. And I think we've seen enough in that first show to know that this talent they've added, this veteran talent in particular, not just the rookies, is impressive. And, I think it's going to be fun to see how this evolves over the next few shows.
One of the things that struck me as perhaps I wasn't there when Mercedes Lewis was talking, but it struck me as cinematic that here is this guy who has been two decades in the NFL, still respected, certainly respected, and he's still doing it. And he's talking about this quarterback, the number one pick, and talking about him with admiration, with respect, and giving Bears fans a reason. If he, if Mercedes Lewis says this, then we have reason to think this. And I thought that was really a great, I have no idea if Hard Knocks will catch it, but that seems cinematic to me. It would be a powerful statement to see on video, on film.
Yeah, I was there in the room, when he gave that interview. Mercedes is just very impressive, period. And I think he's probably more important to this team right now as a leader than as a tight end. Although, he'll make some plays and do some things in blocking. But what he had to say about Williams was really impressive, because now it's coming from a 40-year-old, 19-year veteran who knows what he knows what he's talking about. And I was surprised by, he went over the top not to just, sell his number one overall pick, but to talk about how impressed with what he's seen so far. It was very believable, and it was very impressive. And it's just a lot of the positive vibes that are coming relative to Caleb Williams from the training camp so far.
Hub Arkers is my guest. We're talking Bears football here for the next couple of minutes. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. So what you saw of the offensive line when Caleb Williams was in there, which is minus Nate Davis, which is might as well be a regular season game at this point. What have you thought about its progress, the coach's ability to juggle things and work around that, work with them? Where does the offensive line? I know we're talking about injuries. We don't know how serious, and if it was a game that mattered, would they have played, that kind of thing. What have you thought about the offensive line and the depth you've seen?
The depth is more impressive, obviously, than last year because of the additions they've made. And because they've been able to continue to, run normal practices in spite of the number of players who've missed time on that offensive line with injuries. But as far as how it relates to how they're going to be this season, we can't tell yet, not only because of the number of guys who've missed time with injury, but because there's so many guys playing different positions just to fill the lineup while these other guys are hurt. So, I don't think we've seen a lot one way or the other. They're better at center. They've got more choices there. There's no question about that. They seem pretty happy with Tevin Jenkins, and they seem to feel like he could prove to be their best offensive lineman, although him getting nicked up again the other day was not a positive. You didn't want to see that. And I don't really think there's any question about the tackles. There was so many people talking about, they should have taken Joe Alt instead of Roma Dunze. They should have taken a tackle with that ninth pick. I think these two young tackles could be the answer for the next 6-7 years. And so I'm not really worried about it. Moore being hurt, it was a little scary, but he hasn't really missed time or anything like that. So I think they're going to be improved, but how improved or how good they're going to be, we just haven't seen enough of the five starters playing together yet in a real game, or the five starters playing together yet at all.
All right, Hub, we'll have more overreaction through as the weeks go by. I'm sorry, but it's happening now. And this is a game, a day, a sight we've waited for. We've been wanting to see since we knew they sucked and we knew Carolina sucked and we knew this was going to happen. So thanks for joining me and tolerating our overreaction and all the questions. Like, this is really important today.
Well, the overreaction is part of normalcy with the NFL at this time of the year, so that we have to get ready for. But I think I understand it's excitement, Steve. That's what it is. It's been so long since anybody has picked the Bears to go to the playoffs, and I don't know if I will this year, but I know a lot of people are going to, and so that's where I think all the excitement is coming from, and that's a plus for the fans, so I'm happy about that.
Okay, I'm with you on that. Thanks, Hub. Appreciate it. Be well.
Take care, Steve. You too.
Bye. Hub Arkish. My guest here on Score. The Bears turned away Mitch Trubisky at the goal line. It was first and goal, second and goal, third and goal. Second and goal, Jalen Johnson with a near pick. I think he was interfered with, but the pass was incomplete. And then they went after Jalen Jones, who was earlier injured, shaken up on the play. And Jalen Jones broke up the play. And Mitch Trubisky's Bills had to settle for a field goal. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll keep you updated with whatever is worth updating. But I've been dying to do this. We need to play the game the whole family can play. Live from the corner of 35th and Soil the Bed. Chris Getz, lying or stupid? I've got all kinds of stuff for you. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It sucks, man. It sucks.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So the ball's out to the 30-yard line, and we will see the first snaps in a Bears uniform for the first number one overall pick in a Chicago Bears jersey since 1947. This is the 2022 Heisman winner at USC and Caleb Williams.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Michael Jordan, is that who that is? Robbie, is that why you're playing that music? That was courtesy of Fox, was it not? Fox 32, Adam Amin calling the game. Bears, Bills, that's what we're talking about here on The Score. Go to the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Welcome back to the show. Score's senior NFL analyst. He's a senior analyst, not just because he's a senior, but he is a senior. And we respect that. We are the AARP, WSC-AARP Score. He's Hub Arkish. Hi, Hub. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm seeing more than I expected. I'm very happy to see Caleb Williams in a playbook getting opened, getting much, much going on there for a coaches who gave off the idea that we just want to see him get the play right and see what he's calling and operate the whole thing. What are your impressions of the first two drives of Caleb Williams?
Well, I don't want to make too much of it. I mean, it's the first preseason game, and it's really just about looking comfortable out there, about being prepared, about knowing what he's doing, about making quick decisions. And, I've watched him every day in training camp, and I think he is ready for this, but I think it's going to be a rookie year. You know, there are very few C.J. Strouds. I don't think he's going to have a year like he had last year, but I do think he's ready, and I've been impressed by what I've seen so far in training camp. As far as today, I just don't make too much out of these early preseason games.
Hub, perhaps you've forgotten, we're on Chicago Sports Talk Radio, and the Bears are playing. This is the most important preseason game in the history of history. It's impossible to overplay this story. Anyways, I just like the variety. I like that if they had just had him hand off, I would have felt kind of ripped off. I would have thought it was bad coaching. But they had a variety in there, and I like the fact that he was forced to survey the defense, diagnose it. I don't know what he did with protection, but there was a lot going on there as well as just the cadence. And I haven't seen any false starts. That's a huge step forward for the way this thing was going, don't you think?
Yeah, well, it's important. Yeah, there's no question about that. Whether it's a huge step forward or not, I don't know. He's having a pretty good camp, Steve. I mean, he's been impressive. And hearing his teammates talk about him is what interests me the most, because I haven't, you know, nobody's going to say anything negative about the starting quarterback if he's their teammate. But they're also going to, you know, try and answer questions and be careful on what they say. And everything I've heard from everybody about him has been positive. I, you know, with all the back and forth with Justin Fields the last couple of years, I'm not blaming Justin Fields for anything. I'm just saying, you know, the way the position has been around him, it's been far more negative than positive. And everything about Williams since he got here, the concerns about drafting him with the number one overall pick, I think, went away very quickly after they did it. And we began to find out that a lot of the things that people were voicing concerns about weren't real. He is ready for this, and I think that's the important part. I think what's more important is what we're going to see, you know, next week and the week after, but mainly those first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. Once he's playing real games and we see how ready he is, then we're going to have a better sense for, you know, where he's at. But I'm impressed with what I've seen so far.
My guest is Hub Arkus, senior NFL analyst for The Score. We're talking Bears, Bills, Bears training camp right here on The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670. Aside from Caleb Williams, what were you most interested and remain interested in seeing coming out of today's game with?
Well, as far as coming out of today's game, I just want to see, you know, how the offensive line performs at all levels, because at this point we don't know how many of the starters are going to be available on opening day. And that's important. And, you know, I think one of the stories that I haven't really read anywhere, but it's been jumping out at me the last couple of days, is that one of the really smart things the Bears did in getting ready for Caleb Williams and adding Keenan Allen and drafting Roma Dunze and you know, knowing that C.J. Moore was already there, and then improving the tight end position and the running back position. But, you know, to me, one of the most important things they've done is that the secondary throughout practice has to practice against these receivers, and the secondary is winning in so far in camp. And so I'm very impressed with the way the Bears secondary looks right now. And you know, we knew the defense was better last year and was probably going to be pretty good, but I think the secondary, this group, has a chance to be special with the way they're performing so far.
But you're dealing with some injuries in the secondary, so you're seeing the depth get tested. Jalen Jones got hurt earlier on the previous Buffalo drive, and you're seeing the depth get tested, which is ideally you'd want to go in there with everybody healthy. It's never the case in football. It's like you start hurt. Some guys are more hurt than others. So the secondary can benefit from a pass rush that shows what it's doing to make its job easier. And Montez Sweat hasn't been there. So the defense as a whole against a Bears offense still learning, is it harder to judge that against that and easier to look at it against Buffalo, easier still to look at it against Cincinnati? Or do you have a handle on where you see this defense as a unit right now?
Well, you can't really form any final conclusions in training camp or any of these preseason games, because at the end of the day, you know, you're not playing against other NFL starting teams throughout, and you're not playing full games, and you're not focused as much on winning and losing as you are improving. But all of that said, there's no question that the secondary is being helped by the quality of the defense. But what I like is when I see these guys covering DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze, they're giving them a hard time, and that's not a negative about the wide receivers. I think there's just more talent in the secondary than we realize, and whether it's the offensive line or the secondary, you know, the injuries in training camp are always a concern, but you really can't focus on it too much until you get about a week before that first regular season game, because we don't really know how much they're protecting some of these injuries and how much are serious or concerns, and then we're going to find out more about that in a few weeks.
Hub Arkus is my guest, senior NFL analyst on The Score. We're talking Bears right here on The Score, WSCR, Chicago Sports Radio 670. So, Hard Knocks, what caught your eye? What did you find interesting? You've been around long enough, we're going to call you an experienced NFL analyst, not old. We'll call you experienced, and you've seen the Bears grow more and more staunch about not doing this. And this year it seemed unavoidable when you have that number one pick, when you have that guy and you have so many Hall of Famers that you have to be the team. But for so long, George McCaskey wanted nothing to do with it. The Bears wanted nothing to do with this. They just were staying away. So why was that? And it seems like based on, especially having the editing final cut, it seemed like so much ado about what were they afraid of and what did you think of what you saw in episode one?
Well, let me start by saying I've never been a fan of this Hard Knocks thing. I think it's unfair to these teams. I think it has to be getting in the way of what they're trying to do. Hopefully not seriously. They prepare for it and they have no choice. I understand that. So, it is what it is. But as far as the first show, I love the fact that Nick Saban was there with Flus, and that he's his, former head coach. And I like the way that Flus has presented himself. I think there's been a lot of concern after the first two seasons and coming into this year about him as the Bears head coach. A lot of people wanted him fired, which I thought was ridiculous. But nonetheless, I think he's handled, at least in the first show, handled himself pretty well, very much looks like a head coach. We're learning that the players seem very comfortable with him and the whole staff, and I think that's a good thing. I think the stuff with Owens and Simone Biles is fun. I like seeing the rookie thing. It was funny, but I don't know that it's worth much to us as fans. So overall, they look like a real NFL team. Matt Eberflus looks like a real NFL head coach. And I think we've seen enough in that first show to know that this talent they've added, this veteran talent in particular, not just the rookies, is impressive. And, I think it's going to be fun to see how this evolves over the next few shows.
One of the things that struck me as perhaps I wasn't there when Mercedes Lewis was talking, but it struck me as cinematic that here is this guy who has been two decades in the NFL, still respected, certainly respected, and he's still doing it. And he's talking about this quarterback, the number one pick, and talking about him with admiration, with respect, and giving Bears fans a reason. If he, if Mercedes Lewis says this, then we have reason to think this. And I thought that was really a great, I have no idea if Hard Knocks will catch it, but that seems cinematic to me. It seemed it would be a powerful statement to see on video, on film.
Yeah, I was there in the room, when he gave that interview. Mercedes is just very impressive, period. And I think he's probably more important to this team right now as a leader than as a tight end. Although, he'll make some plays and do some things in blocking. But what he had to say about Williams was really impressive, because now it's coming from a 40-year-old, 19-year veteran who knows what he knows what he's talking about. And I was surprised by, he went over the top not to just, sell his number one overall pick, but to talk about how impressed with what he's seen so far. It was very believable and it was very impressive. And it's just a lot of the positive vibes that are coming relative to Caleb Williams from the training camp so far.
Hub Arkish is my guest. We're talking Bears football here for the next couple of minutes. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. So what you saw of the offensive line when Caleb Williams was in there, which is minus Nate Davis, which is might as well be a regular season game at this point. What have you thought about its progress, the coach's ability to juggle things and work around that, work with them? Where does the offensive line? I know we're talking about injuries. We don't know how serious and if it was a game that mattered, would they have played that kind of thing? What have you thought about the offensive line and the depth you've seen?
The depth is more impressive, obviously, than last year because of the additions they've made, and because they've been able to continue to run normal practices in spite of the number of players who've missed time on that offensive line with injuries. But as far as how it relates to how they're going to be this season, we can't tell yet, not only because of the number of guys who've missed time with injury, but because there's so many guys playing different positions just to fill the lineup while these other guys are hurt. So, I don't think we've seen a lot one way or the other. They're better at center. They've got more choices there. There's no question about that. They seem pretty happy with Tevin Jenkins, and they seem to feel like he could prove to be their best offensive lineman, although him getting nicked up again the other day was not a positive. You didn't want to see that. And I don't really think there's any question about the tackles. You know, there were so many people talking about, oh, they should have taken Joe Alt instead of Roma Dunze. They should have taken a tackle with that ninth pick. I think these two young tackles could be the answer for the next 6-7 years. And so I'm not really worried about it. Moore being hurt, it was a little scary, but, he hasn't really missed time or anything like that. So I think they're going to be improved. But how improved or how good they're going to be, we just haven't seen enough of the five starters playing together yet in a real game, or the five starters playing together yet at all.
All right, Ab, we'll have more overreaction as the weeks go by. I'm sorry, but it's happening now. And this is a game a day, a sight we've waited for. We've been wanting to see since we knew they sucked and we knew Carolina sucked and we knew this was going to happen. So thanks for joining me and tolerating our overreaction and all the questions like this is really important today.
Well, the overreaction is part of normalcy with the NFL at this time of the year, so that we have to get ready for. But I think I understand. It's excitement, Steve. That's what it is. It's been so long since anybody has picked the Bears to go to the playoffs, and I don't know if I will this year, but I know a lot of people are going to, and so that's where I think all the excitement is coming from, and that's a plus for the fans, so I'm happy about that.
Okay, I'm with you on that. Thanks, Hub. Appreciate it. Be well.
Take care, Steve. You too.
Bye. Hub Arkish, my guest here on Score. The Bears turned away Mitch Trubisky at the goal line. It was first and goal, second and goal, third and goal. Second and goal, Jalen Johnson with a near pick. I think he was interfered with, but the pass was incomplete. And then they went after Jalen Jones, who was earlier injured, shaken up on the play. And Jalen Jones broke up the play. And Mitch Trubisky's Bills had to settle for a field goal. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll keep you updated with whatever is worth updating. But I've been dying to do this. We need to play the game the whole family can play. Live from the corner of 35th and Soil the Bed, Chris Getz, Lying or Stupid. I've got all kinds of stuff for you. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It sucks, man. It sucks.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.